We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Happy New Year as we are now into 2020. And 2020 is a big year on campus for the topic that we're going to talk about right now with Jenny Simon O'Neill, and that is the 150th anniversary of women being admitted to the University of California, Berkeley. It's a fascinating history. It'll be a really interesting year. And of course, for the most part, we're going to talk about the athletic component of that. But Jenny, first of all, Happy New Year. Glad you could spend some time with us. We talked a couple of football games that we're going to have you on at halftime. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. So now here we go. And you've got the forum is yours for as long as we want to go. We're not confined to 3 minutes at halftime of a football game. Anyway, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Thanks for having me on the show today, and it's an exciting topic to get to talk about.
We're going to kind of kick this thing off with the from an athletic standpoint. On Sunday, the second of two back-to-back games with Stanford. Friday night, the women will be at Stanford. Then Saturday evening, it'll be Cal against Stanford here. And this kicks off this 150th celebration of the fact that the women were first admitted to the University of California. Can you give us a little idea what we can expect as far as maybe Sunday is concerned? How are we going to tie all that into the basketball game, either halftime, during the game, pregame? How's that going to work?
Well, I'd like to actually back up and talk about how this came to be in the first place. So we had a campus committee that came together that's chaired by Oliver O'Reilly, who's the chair of the Academic Senate, and Sharon Inkless, who's the special faculty advisor to the chancellor around sexual violence, sexual harassment. So the two of them put together a committee with people from across campus. And I believe we started meeting even last March, just starting to brainstorm different ideas. So many incredible women over the course of the last 150 years for us to celebrate, and we really had to think through what's the best way to do that. And it was really fun watching this celebration unfold, and it's still continuing to build. But I think early in the fall, Sharon and Oliver came and said, you know, we think that the Cal-Stanford women's basketball game would be a great way to kick off this celebration. And we were just thrilled to have the opportunity to host such a kickoff. So for those that don't know, 150 years of women at Berkeley, on October 3rd, 1870, the following resolution was signed by the regents, which was, they resolved that young ladies be admitted into the university on equal terms in all respects. And it's neat that we have a photo of that that's been, you know, circulated, because it's all handwritten. And of course it's handwritten, but it's just neat for us to be able to see, and our students certainly to understand the history that they're a part of. So in terms of the game itself, we have an internal committee within athletics chaired by Rihanna Powell in event management, Laura Fernie in creative services, and they have put together a group of people from across our department to really figure out how athletics is going to leverage the celebration and both integrate with our campus in the celebration and really be able to celebrate our own student-athletes and coaches over the course of time as well. So The celebration itself, one of the neat things is that we are going to have, our student athletes are going to have shooting shirts that have the 150 logo on it, which is pretty cool. We've invited faculty and staff from across campus. Everybody is eligible for 4 free tickets to come, so I'm excited to have 11,000 people in the building. And you know that this game, regardless, really needs to have 11,000 people in the building, just because it's always an exciting game. And we have some, you know, VIPs that we've invited from the Office of the President and some elected officials as well. And then, you know, a number of actually alumni, I think from the celebrating their 10th, 25th, and 50th reunion anniversary, have all been invited as well. And that's not just athletics people, but people across the students across the campus. We actually have invited some middle school students as well, who are interested in STEM, coding, and you know, we're going to be excited to welcome about 300 of them to the event as well. And then, you know, we're going to be honoring people both during halftime, you know, different quarter breaks and such, and just really being able to blow this up. And we're gonna have some profiles of some, you know, women both in athletics and professors across campus and so on that we have on the video board. And I cannot wait. It's gonna be great.
I'm just gonna throw out some names here, because I went on the website, and so 1871, we go back that far, and then in 1874 we got the first female graduate. Mm-hmm. So Rosa L. Shrivner, I believe it is, got her degree in agriculture. And then you've got in 1900, there were actually more women at Cal than men for the first time. Mm-hmm. 1910, Jane Sather, does that name ring a bell? She's did a little gifting in her part. And of course, you got Sathergate. 1910, Elizabeth Jocelyn Bolt. That should be a familiar name to anybody who's been on campus. Talk about the law school. Edith Head, fascinating lady. Edith Head was known in Hollywood to everybody. She got 8 Oscars she won. She was nominated for 34 Oscars in costumes. And think about that, 34 nominations. So that's spanning a long time, and multiple nominations, I'm sure, in some of the years. Edith Head, as we mentioned, 1919, 1920, Dr. Ida Louise Jackson was the first female black teacher in the state of California. And I haven't even gotten into athletics yet. Athletics, and you would know this because some of these names are current, Alex Morgan, obviously, Natalie Coughlin, Missy Franklin, Helen Willis Mooney won 31 Grand Slam tennis events. Michelle Tafoya, in my business, NBC Sunday Night Football. Michelle Granger, maybe the best softball pitcher of all time. You go back to the early 90s. And on and on we go. Janet Yellen, okay, obviously has a tie to California. Professor Emeritus, was the former chairman of the Fed. I mean, it's just amazing. We're just getting started. And so the history, and you look at the national championships, the aquatics, and so forth. I mean, it's a wonderful history, and it's nice to see on this great anniversary that a lot of these people are going to be celebrated. It's just just looking at the list of people was just fascinating to me.
Yep, no, it absolutely is. And someone like a Luella Lilly, who was the women's athletic director here, who was at every women's basketball game as a season ticket holder and a donor, you know, just being able to see her every day, but being able to honor her in this setting will be a really neat opportunity. One thing I forgot to talk about earlier was that part of the reason they selected this game was that this was the Cal and Stanford played the first intercollegiate women's basketball game in 1896. And the score, the final score, was 2-1. Yep. Stanford won, unfortunately, but by one. So, you know, one of the things that we're going to do post-game for our women's basketball donor group is both Charmin and Tara Vanderveer are going to speak together about kind of the history of the game. And the neat thing is that Tara is a mentor or really key influential person in Charmin's life. And to be able to have them both together talking about both the game and Charmin's, you know, role as a head coach now at Berkeley, it's just it's really, really exciting.
And, of course, the women's sports, you go down the line, a lot of women coaches that we're seeing in the last since Title IX got instituted. And then it took kind of a generation or so. And now a lot of women coaching and doing a terrific job. Charmin, Joanne Boyle, who was here, Lindsay Gottlieb, now in the NBA with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a great lineage that we've seen. You go back to that first game, doing a little reading on that. There were 500 people attending the game, and they were all women. Okay, and some men were trying to look in, and according to one report, were beaten off with sticks. It's an all female event. Had one official, as you mentioned, the final score was 2-1, and at that point in time, it was kind of a curiosity more than anything else. And then in 1900, just a couple of years later, they kind of did. You know, I know Stanford discontinued their program altogether, but going back that far, I was totally unaware that the first women's intercollegiate game featured Cal and Stanford. I guess that's kind of fitting, although you would think it might have been some East Coast schools, right? Maybe the Yales and the Harvards and some of those, because you know, Springfield, Massachusetts, the birthplace of basketball. But you mentioned the relationship that Charmin has with Tara, and Tara has been a mentor to a lot of people. I mean, not just her own players, but she was a tremendous influence with Lindsay when she was here. And Lindsay always went out of her way to acknowledge that fact. So the fact that you can have two rivals helping each other, I think is terrific. And this 150th celebration is just going to be fun. What, in addition to the game this Sunday, as we look down the road a little bit, what are some of the other things that you envision happening on campus as part of this celebration?
Yeah, I think there is an annual plan both for the campus and for the department around this celebration. I think within the department, there's going to be a number of events, including National Girls and Women's Sports Day around our basketball program. But really, you know, many of our women's sports and also our men's sports, there's a football game on October 3rd, and that is the date of the resolution. So I'm confident that we're going to be able to, you know, celebrate that day with all of our fans and season ticket holders. So in terms of the campus, I think that they're really focusing on Cal Day, on commencement, on homecoming. And I do think things are continuing to grow department by department. They're looking at celebrating, you know, whether academic departments looking at celebrating their own firsts in faculty, women, and students, and so on. So there's a great calendar online, and as things come up, we're continuing to add to it. But, you know, within the department, I think we're going to have some really neat opportunities to celebrate.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrific year, no question about it. All right, talk about the fact that virtually every sport here at Cal is competitive on a national level. As an administrator, what is your role? What are you trying to do to help in your case, particularly women's sports, because that's you're kind of on that side of the ledger. What is being done to enhance the opportunities and to make sure that these young women not only can succeed in their athletic endeavors, but academically as well and into the future?
Yeah, we talk a lot about this, you know, as I talk to recruits and their family, that really our goal is for our student athletes to be able to come here and compete and win championships, be able to excel in the classroom in a major that they have chosen. We want them to pursue their academic dreams as well, and also become the best versions of themselves. And, you know, for the third one, we just, I'm sure this has been talked about on the podcast before, but the Cameron Institute, mm-hmm. That we are developing and starting to build out in terms of our staff, that one of the pillars of that is going to be leadership and personal development. And I think that, you know, that's another piece that's so important to the student athlete experience. So in terms of what we're doing to support all of our sports, I actually supervise men's and women's sports. You know, we're investing in recruiting. We are investing in nutrition. Recently, we just put a good chunk of money into being able to have a grab and go program, and our student athletes can mm-hmm. come and get food every day. And you know, we're investing in some facilities in beach volleyball and softball. We're really looking forward to being able to build and open those facilities. And every day we're looking at how we can be exceptional. So we just finished our strategic plan. It's a 5-year plan, and some of those things are going to take us 5 years to get to, but some of them are already done. So every day we're looking at how we can better support our student athletes.
You mentioned two sports that are going to have new facilities. What's the timeline as far as those are concerned?
Some of that is still in the works. You know, I think both beach volleyball and softball are kind of finalizing their design phases, and we have sites for them, and we're excited to be able to break ground at some point soon.
I know the softball program, they've done some things here and there, kind of piecemealed some things together, but you know, with the new facility, they'll be able to host tournament games. I mean, that's a big deal when you get a chance to be a host instead of having to go on the road. That's a big deal. And the beach volleyball, and of course, Beach Volleyball instituted a couple of years ago, this is a program not only here at Cal, but nationwide that has grown by leaps and bounds, no pun intended. But the beach volleyball program here, each and every year, I mean, this is a top 10 program now.
Yeah, I've just been really, really proud of them. I mean, they finished last year with, I believe, 20 or 21 wins. And to be able to build this facility, I think, could be a real difference maker for them in recruiting and also just the experience of our current student athletes. Yeah. You know, right now they have 2 courts, but they're going to go on to have 4 courts and, you know, just their own space that's dedicated to them. And I think it's really going to be powerful.
All right, Jenny, we appreciate you taking the time to give us a little background as to what's going to happen over the course of the next year with this celebration of women being admitted to the University of California. I know everybody's really excited about it. You know, you get to these milestones, the 50, 100, the 150s, and you get some real history. And as we mentioned, just some of the names of the young women that have come through here and had outstanding success, even not only here but beyond that, is remarkable. So it's been a wonderful 150 years, and here's to another 150 down the road, right?
Go Bears. Thank you.
All right, Jenny, we appreciate it very much. And again, Sunday, the Bears against the Stanford Cardinal, 5:00 tip. We want you all out here. If you're on the faculty and you're listening to this, remember you can get 4 free tickets, so you can't pass that up, can you? The NFL games will be over that day anyway, so come on out here and watch a really good basketball game against the Bears and the Stanford Cardinal. And a reminder, Cal fans, for all your ticket information, 1-800-GO-BEARS. And to keep up with the Bears in all the sports, go to the website, calbears.com. Joining me now is women's water polo coach in her 4th year, Coralie Simmons, who's done a terrific job in the first 3 years, 3 times in the top 4. And last year, you made it all the way to number 1. I know the goal is to stay number 1 throughout, but to get there, it was the first time in like 18 years that the water polo program had been able to attain that kind of success. This year is also an Olympic year, and I do want to start with that, because that in a lot of the aquatic sports around here, men's and women's swimming, water polo, it affects the roster, let's say, because a lot of the student athletes that we have here at Cal have great success on the international level. And water polo is no exception. Women's water polo, you're going to miss a couple of players. How does that, first of all, tell us who they are, who they're going to play for, but how does that affect how you enter the year and how you plan the year?
Yeah, so we have 3 athletes that are tapped out for the year, and our captain from last year, Emma Wright, will be playing for the Canadian national team. They have qualified for the Olympics, so I wouldn't say she's a shoo-in, but she's going to the Olympics if she makes the roster, which is looking great for her. She's a lefty attacker and one of our leading scorers. So she's going to, you know, lead the Canadians in many ways on the Olympic front. And then we have Ellie Protopapas, who is training with the Greek national team. They are arranging their rosters for for the upcoming European Championships, where Greece, among other nations, European nations, are vying for the European slot on for the Olympic program. So she, the Greek roster has not been announced yet, but she's training well and doing well. So Olympic hopeful from LA for the Greek roster. And then Kitty Lynn Yaustra just was announced to the squad in Budapest for European Championship. So she will be competing there. And her Olympic journey is looking solid as well. And so those three athletes, without them here, are some voids in some respects. But we're excited for their future and their summer and competing at the world stage for the Olympics and for Cal, for that matter. And yeah, they're doing well for their nations.
And other programs go through the same thing, so it's not like Cal's the only one. But it does kind of change things up a little every 4 years, no question about it. And congratulations to them, because the opportunity to represent your own country at the Olympic Games is one that you just cannot pass up. And I'm sure when you recruit these athletes, you're hoping that's the case for them, because it is all about what the student athletes can accomplish. You've participated in a lot of the national activities as well as a coach. So just give us your thoughts, what it's like when, you know, you get the opportunity to maybe be up on the podium and represent the United States and you maybe hear that national anthem.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm excited for all athletes, you know, tapping out and those that are have competed in the NCAA level and then, again, putting themselves out there for their Olympic journey for the summer. And anyone on the podium, you know, at the end of it, is a huge, huge accomplishment, you know, from, you know, gold to bronze. And just making the Olympics roster, competing in the games, and is a feat of itself. And then again, the actuality of finding your way to the podium is a big deal and an awesome feeling. And, you know, I was part of that in 2000 and against the Australians who nicked us out in the end. And, you know, being able to, you know, stand up there with your teammates and look down the line, and though we lost and yet won the silver, it was a lot of emotion and a lot of excitement, just knowing that we put everything that we could forward and into that last game, and through the, you know, through the months and years ahead behind that goal. And so I look forward to seeing, you know, the Americans who I know well, and then, you know, obviously our Cal Bear athletes battling in the pool, because, you know, there's, you know, I don't know the percentage, but there's a hearty percentage of the athletes in the pool that have been competing in Tokyo that have been in the pool, many pools here in America, competing for their colleges. And so it's going to be a very familiar roster of athletes that, you know, again, have been doing it here, and then with their experiences here have made them better, and it's going to make the Olympics really exciting. And again, I think water polo is elevated throughout the Olympic appearance, and it's going to be one of the best in terms of how far the sport has come and how athletic the athletes are in the field.
Well, no question about it. So we've talked a little about what you don't have. Let's talk about what you do have, okay, because that's the most important thing. Starting this Saturday against San Jose down there, and then I think you go to UCSB for a tournament. But the big one is a couple of weeks from now, January 25th, 26th, you'll host a number of teams, including Stanford, that you'll play on Sunday, the second day of the competition. So let's talk about what you do have coming back. And also, you've got a young team. You signed 10 last year. You got 9 more coming in next year. So a real turnover in personnel for your program. But talk about what you think the strengths will be in some of the key performers this year.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be very solid and competitive up the middle of the pool, which is always important for any team in our sport. And so in the cage, we're going to have all of our athletes, all of our goalies competing for that lead role. We have a newcomer to the scene, Isabel Williams, that Is going to try to sink her teeth in a little bit. Cassie DeBall has been playing well in the cage for us, had a great fall, as well as Claire McDowell, and you know, all of them competing in that position, which is the most difficult in the pool. There's one of you, and it's not that you can kind of change your role. It's you or not. So they're doing a good job of maintaining a good competitive feeling and competing, but wanting one another to get better. So that's always important. Then our centers were returning DeRose, who kind of came off the bench for Kitty Lynn. They kind of tag teamed our lineups and did an excellent job, and she'll fulfill a big role for us, whether she's starting or first off the bench, and really solidifies us offensively with what we can do in transition in our half court. Big presence, vocal leader. She's going to be our captain, one of our captains this year, and looking forward to her senior year where she wants to make things happen and do big things. Then we have, you know, a number of kind of post-up roles, but we have Grace Raisin coming in as a sophomore, and Georgia Gilmore going to be a junior. And then, again, we have some post-up roleies that might slide into certain lineups depending on what we're running. So center play is going to be fun. And then we have our center defenders that are doing a great job. So we have Leggett that will be coming in. Sophie Leggett had a great fall as a freshman and could fulfill a huge role for us in terms of defending. But in some ways, very utility player, where she won't necessarily get pigeonholed into that role either. Since Mulder and Bree Mulder, sisters, will be in and out of that role as well. And another, again, utility roles, whether it be Lily Turner, Shea Salvino. We have a number of athletes that can go in and slide in there. So really setting up the middle, and it's going to be allow us to do a lot of things on both ends of the pool, offensively and defensively.
You know, college athletics is a little bit I once had a guy tell me that a certain particular coach on a different program had three teams. He had the team he had, the team he was supposed to have, and then the team he's going to have. Okay, so yeah. You can look at it a number of different ways. So now we've covered, you know, kind of the team that you had, the kind of the team you have, and now you just signed a 9-member recruiting class as well. So that's the nature of college athletics. You're always looking forward to the next 4 years, and you had a good class, a lot of versatility. What most pleased you about the class you just recently signed?
Well, athleticism kind of pops out for me first, as well as just good kids. They just know how to get the job done in all the right ways, and that's what's important to us here as a squad at Cal, is we're just trying to continue to build kind of our culture, and these athletes are going to come in and not only perform in the pool in some ways right away, but also be able to just sink in right away and not have a growth period where they're trying to, you know, find their setting and be comfortable and kind of ease their way into things. They're going to come in and want to taste things right away. So that's going to be important. You know, again, just good leadership skills, good ability in the classroom, and those are all, you know, the challenges that new athletes have, and they already have that prowess now. So we're excited.
Football coach Justin Wilcox talks about fit. What does fit mean for you here at Cal?
Well, yeah, that's very accurate. I mean, you have to find someone that fits Berkeley and fits, you know, our program. But Berkeley is a special place, and it's and the beauty of the athletes that come to play for us and to study here is they really want to be here. They know what they're getting themselves into. They know their environment. They know the town. They know the students that are here, the student athletes that are here, and it takes an athlete that really wants to get the job done and really wants to kind of excel not only on the playing field in the pool, but also in life, where they're going to be challenged culturally, and they're going to be challenged politically, and they're going to be challenged in the classroom every day. And that's kind of what excites me about the athletes that come here is it's different than the rest of the country and where they go. And it's one of the first things I say to when they walk into my office is, it's okay if you don't like Berkeley. We only want people that want to be here. And those that are here love it, and that's what allows us to kind of function at the level we are.
Yeah, you have to have that process where you really have to know what they want and what they can handle. And that's the tough part in recruiting. You have to identify that, and then you have to really dig deep to find out what that person's really all about. And, of course, they evolve, though, over time, too, so it's an ever-changing process. All right, you get started, as we mentioned, on Saturday against San Jose State down there. But this past weekend, you spent some time, there's no school, so that's kind of it can be a two-way street there. You got a lot more time, the student athletes. They also have a lot more free time as well. But you took the opportunity to go up to Sonoma, kind of get together and get away from campus. So why do something like that, and what did you get out of it?
Well, all teams spend a lot of time together, but it's very, athletically oriented and, we have limited time with one another, and it's nice just to kind of dive in and spend even more time, more intimate time with one another and get to know each other a little bit better and ins and outs and what allows us to tick and what individually makes each one of us tick. And being able to just sit down, have that eye contact, put your phones down, get off the grid, grind a little bit in some respects as well, and really, again, just to peel back that next layer and then allow us to kind of function at a higher level right away as we get back, because we got to find our juju again. Okay, we've been gone 3-plus weeks apart and haven't been practicing and together, and we got to find and function right away.
What are the goofy things that you do? Because it can't all be serious time. You get away from campus. I mean, what are some of the, off the grid kind of things you did?
So one night we had, seniors cooking dinner, and then we draw a hat, drew names for who got to do dishes and then who got to invite us into some kind of performance, a poem, a whatever it be. So luck of the draw, we had one of our quiet groups, oddly, and then they got chosen for the performance. Okay. In some ways. They put together a tune and some lyrics that very special to our team and unique to our team. So it was really kind of fun seeing those that aren't necessarily comfortable in front of the group kind of come out of their shell and be goofy and embrace the beauty of just being vulnerable with one another. I think Claire Sunny nailed it. She was hoping to get dishes, and who hopes to get dishes? But she really is one of those athletes, and she's going to do big things for us this year. And she likes to put herself out on the table and be vulnerable and kind of set the stage for others to be able to do that as well.
Is there anything you found out about somebody that you can actually share that experience with us? There are probably some things that you don't want to share, but is there anything that you could share that, wow, that really surprised me?
Well, we did some dune runs and we got down nitty gritty and, some people are, piping up the dunes and some people struggle and you'd be surprised who does and doesn't. But yeah, Carla Traplin was like a, I don't know what animal functions well in sand, but she was crawling up the sands like a crab and just killing it and doing an amazing job and really pushing her teammates and just seeing them, fish out of water and seeing them out of element, like I said, and getting them a little bit uncomfortable in front of one another and in all the right ways, and then them seeing each other pick each other up and push each other is exciting.
Yeah, that's important because that translates to what you do in the pool as well. Sure. That people that have been in a locker room, been on a team, just know that there's a special bond that exists that can carry on forever and ever and ever, and hopefully it does. But it does help in those difficult times. You can count on somebody because you're close to them. And you know what they're all about.
Totally.
And that's why these bonding experiences are really great to have. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy. Mm-hmm. Got to get them back in the pool and get ready for San Jose State. And again, a big one coming up in a couple of weeks, 25th and the 26th, Saturday and Sunday, as the Bears will host a tournament, including the final game against Stanford on Sunday. Good luck. Stay healthy. Happy New Year. And hopefully we'll see you up around your neck of the woods in Sonoma, because you were at Sonoma State Coach of the Year twice up there, and we're not far away from there. So good luck.
Thank you very much. And, come out to our games. We love having fans, and there's nothing better than home court advantage with filling up the stands. So go Bears.
And the Speaker Aquatic Center is a great place to watch, too. It's really an intimate atmosphere. So if you haven't been to one of the matches, please come out and watch. All right, that wraps it up for this week. A reminder, men's basketball, we'll be back next week. Talk a little bit more about that. We'll be on the air Thursday night at 7 o'clock pregame show as the Bears take on the Washington Huskies. Then Saturday, We will have the pregame show beginning at 4:30, the Bears against the Washington Huskies. Remember, a year ago, the Bears at the end of the season beat both of those teams here at Haas Pavilion, so hopefully you can come out. And, of course, on the women's side, wow, Battle of Bays, Part 1 and 2, Friday and Sunday, the Bears and the Stanford Cardinal ought to be a tremendous three-day, two-game event. And it also kicks off the 150-year celebration of women being admitted here at the University of California, a year-long program. And, of course, we talked about that a little bit earlier. Come out here on Sunday because that's the kickoff of all those special events. We appreciate, as always, you joining us each and every week. And until next week, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much. And as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.